Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L. And I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, September 13th, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 46, the second full paragraph, beginning with, "Much to our relief," ending with, "It is open, we believe, to all men." We are reading and commenting on that one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Jennifer H. reading the text, and Lisa N. will read page 164. Our newcomer greeter is Christina M., and announcements will be Jody E. The reference ID number for yesterday, Thursday, September 12, 2024, is 21,740. Or 21740. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,742 or 21742. A preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Robin B. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you. Hi, this is Robin B. in Ohio. I am a compulsive overeater, and the 12 steps are, one, we were powerless over food, that our life had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve.
Well, thank you so much, Robin B. I will now ask Joanne L. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, everybody. I am Joanne L. from Rhode Island, and I am recovering one day at a time. And welcome to the newcomers. And Stephanie, thank you for your service. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous: our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lease problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Well, thank you, Joanne L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature that we are discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're Agnostics. We're on page 46, second full paragraph, beginning with, much to our relief, ending with, it is open, we believe, to all men. We are reading and commenting on that one paragraph this morning, and I will now ask Jennifer H. to please get us started. Hi, Jennifer.
Hey. Thank you for your service, Stephanie. This is Jennifer H., recovered compulsive overeater in Alabama. And we're at the paragraph at the bottom of 46. Much to our relief, we discovered we did not need to consider another's conception of God. Our own conception, however inadequate, was sufficient to make the approach and to effect a contact with Him. As soon as we admitted the possible existence of a creative intelligence, a spirit of the universe underlying the totality of things, we began to be possessed of a new sense of power and direction, provided we took other simple steps. God does not make too hard terms with those who seek Him. To us, the realm of spirit is broad, roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding to those who earnestly seek. It is open, we believe, to all men. Well, when I went through this with my vision sponsor, I wrote notes with a green pen. And so my green pen over here says, this paragraph is so important. And I really like how it describes, we did not need to consider another of God. So not what other people have said that God is, or even what I have said or thought that God is in the past. I just have to have some kind of conception, and it doesn't even matter if it's inadequate. And then, you know, I've heard a lot of people refer to their higher power as, you know, the creator or creative intelligence or spirit of the universe. And, you know, there's another phrase that the writers throw in here at one point, which is father of lights or something. So I like it when these kind of terms are used, because it reminds me of this paragraph and this idea that, you know, of what we have in the big book. That doesn't mean I have to have a concept that fits what other, you know, humans have described, you know, in other, you know, areas of the world. So, and then this part about being possessed of a new sense of power and direction is really interesting too, because what I find in my experience is if I say a prayer to be guided and I show up, stuff will come out of my mouth and I'll do actions. And then I'll look back and I may feel a little uncomfortable about it, but I know that if I checked in with my higher power before I did it, then apparently that was what it was supposed to be. I don't know, you know, it's not something I pre-thought out before I took the action or in the direction or anything, but it just kind of happened. So that helps me to just know as I go through the day that, okay, you know, it's not the same as when I tried to prefigure everything out and do everything according to my will. So, and then I have to take other simple steps. And that's when I found that light that comes on in Stauncey's eyes, you know, upon starting the steps and everything. And the way there's a grace period or a pink cloud will give me some time to do the steps, but then I have to keep taking the actions and doing them to have this continue, you know, this sense of power and direction instead of falling back on my own will. And it's one of my favorite lines, that God does not make too hard terms with those who seek him. I think about that one all the time when I think, I can't do this, it's too much work, I have to do all this again, you know, or something like that, or I start having some self-pity. You know, my higher power is not going to make too hard a terms. As long as I express a willingness and I try, you know, that's all really that I need to do. And I have definitely seen that, just being willing. And I really love that it says all inclusive, never
Jennifer,
exclusive
that's
or forbidding. So it's not a God of exclusion, which is kind of the God of understanding I used to have. So I'm grateful, very grateful to you guys for being here, and I'll pass.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Jennifer H. What a great way to get us started this morning. And we're now going to open up the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your shares to 3 minutes to allow for as many people as possible to share. I'll remind you when your time is up, and if you can please finish promptly in order to give others that chance to share this morning too. If you can please give your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Lisa M.
Robin P. in Costa Rica.
I've got you, Robin.
Miriam from Brooklyn.
Miriam, what's your last initial?
M.
M. Okay, got you.
Shirley
Wendy
R. California.
I heard someone R.
Shirley.
Shirley R. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Letty G.
I've got you, Letty.
Barbara W. from Washington State.
Hey, Barbara, got you.
Wendy M.
I've got you, Wendy. Do we have anyone else who wants to get in on this first lineup? Okay, well, we've got a good lineup going here. Let me repeat who I heard. I've got Lisa N., Robin P., Miriam M., Shirley R., Letty G., Barbara W., Wendy M. We're going to go ahead and start with Lisa N., followed by Robin P. So, Lisa, good morning. You're up.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service today, and thank you for the first reader. Lisa Ann Fulton, grateful compulsive overeater recovered today by God's grace and mercy. And I really do mean that today. Oops, I just lost one of my earbuds. Sorry about that. anyway, what I pictured when I heard the reader read that paragraph was me feeling like, and I don't know if you've ever done this, but you've stood at a door and you've knocked, but you kind of knocked soft because you didn't really want to disturb somebody. Like maybe you're in a hotel and you're knocking at a door and you think, oh, I don't know if they're still sleeping, if I should wake them up or what. But you kind of knock soft and you're unsure. I picture a higher power coming to the door as soon as I knock softly. Come on in. Open the door. Come on in. And welcome. And I'm glad you're here and you're not disturbing me. And I think that's all I really have to say, because I really do feel like that's my higher power. I can say, God, are you there? You know, I need to ask a question, or maybe not even realize that I need help. Oh my gosh, I've been there so many times, and then recognize and then feel embarrassed. And I'm always welcome. He's always glad for me to ask for help. And that's all I've got today. I hope everybody has a wonderful day, and thank you for letting me share.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Lisa N. Next up is Robin P., followed by Miriam M. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you so much for your service. It's Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And this is one of my favorite paragraphs. I'm so grateful that we got to all find our own conception of God. And I came into the program in 1981. The first time at Moravian Church in New York City, and I saw God on the walls, and I was raised a devout atheist. My parents, my dad was an atheist because his mom was Russian Jew and his father was French Catholic, and her father was a rabbi. They put a candle in the window when they got married, and they sat Shiva and said she died and she wasn't allowed to see her family again, so they were raised atheist. So I was raised atheist, and I so needed help. And I just thought, oh my gosh, I'm not going to get the help I need because there's God on the walls. And, you know, someone said, any power greater than your God, which is food, and your food has failed you. And so you just get to go a step at a time, acting as if. And that was my bridge to God. And then I had a very profound spiritual awakening, which led me to the God of my understanding today. And I am so grateful to this program because of this inclusivity that it talks about in this paragraph, because, you know, those who honestly seek him, and it's broad, roomy, all inclusive. And I'm just so grateful for that, because I literally felt that I wasn't going to be able to get abstinent or find this program. And it wasn't true. It was just my own fear, that false evidence appearing real. And it was one step at a time, literally one of the 12 steps at a time, you know, admitting I was powerless, turning my will, my life over to the care of God, you know, and I get to do that every day. And I get to live in 10, 11, and 12 today. And we're about to leave Costa Rica for 3 months. We're traveling again. We're looking for our right home. We're retired. And, you know, we're going to Europe again. My dad passed away, so we're going to his memorial concert. And he was an orchestra conductor his whole life. So, and I get to go sing at that. And then we're going to Europe. And all of this I get to do abstinently, one step at a time, holding God's hand and never doing it alone. I just never have to do anything alone again. I'm so grateful to this program. I'm so grateful for all of you. I pray that everyone has a very abstinent day and weekend. And thank you so much for blessing me. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Robin P. from Costa Rica, soon to be all over the world. Next, we have Miriam M., followed by Shirley R. Morning, Miriam.
Good morning. I'm Miriam M., and I'm from Brooklyn, New York, and grateful to be at this meeting. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater, and I really like the reading. the when the reading was when it was being read, it reminded me of the fact that years ago I worked with a sponsor who wanted me to. I didn't have a higher power. In fact, I was very angry at religion. I guess I was anti-religion, and I didn't have a belief in God or in a higher power. But I had been to enough meetings to know that that was, I didn't have to accept somebody else's idea of a higher power, that I could form my own idea of a higher power. And I know that this particular sponsor, I guess she thought she was being helpful by encouraging me to subscribe to her ideas about, you know, what a higher power, what my higher power should be. And I resisted that. And I worked with her, and I did some step work with her. And we, I benefited from working with her. But in the end, I ended up not continuing to work with her and finding a different sponsor, somebody who told me that, you know, I could develop my own conception of a higher power, and that I didn't have to adopt somebody else's. And I just felt so good that I was able to do that. I felt very comfortable being in this meeting, knowing that nobody can impose their own ideas about what God is or on me, that, you know, that I can decide for myself what my beliefs are. So I'm just very grateful all these years later to still be in this program, because, you know, I was given that freedom to decide for myself, you know, what my conception of God is. So thank you for listening, and I'll pass.
Well, thank you so much, Miriam M. from New York. Let's see, we've got Shirley R. next, followed by Letty G. Good morning, Shirley. You're up.
I feel very, very thankful for the ministry of this meeting and the ministry of God in my life. And I have achieved 13 days of abstinence, and that is only done with God as my helper. And I think I hold God's hand every minute of my day, and I find a feeling of peace and power in Him that I've never felt before in my life, and I'm very grateful. Thank you to everyone, and bless you all. Pass.
Well, thank you so much, Shirley R. from California. Next, we've got Letty G., followed by Barbara W. Letty, good morning in Europe.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Do you hear me?
You can be heard.
Letty G. Oh, wonderful. I just want to, I don't have anything profound to say, but what I do have to say is that I was led to this program. I always had God in my life. I always felt protected. I had a wonderful life. But where I struggled was with the food after I started my family. I felt so inept and wanted to do everything perfect and felt overwhelmed with juggling four little lives. But God took this little girl from Mexico at 3 years old. Our family immigrated legally to this country after my father had to leave for a year to make a way for us. And I'm so grateful that to this country that has given us a wonderful life, and that I was able to be led to this program. And it's only because of God, because even though I had God in my life and I was very protected, and took me a lot of little lessons This program opened my eyes in a way that I've never felt open. I have a long way to go. I'm very new here, relatively, but I am recovered for today. And I'm just eternally grateful that this program is inclusive, because I never really, I think being immigrant and not knowing the language at first, felt some insecurities that not created by my parents, but just insecurities that developed in me. I still deal with a little insecurities, and I'm praying for strength, and I need to get past this. I'm 69 years old. Anyways, I love this program. I'm grateful to everybody that shares their experience, strength, and hope with me, this little girl that immigrated from Mexico, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that immigrated to this country, but I'm so grateful. Thank you so much for all your service. I don't know where I'd be without you guys. Thanks again. Have a beautiful weekend. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Letty G. from Nevada. So glad that you're here. Next, we've got Barbara W., followed by Wendy M. Barbara, you're up. Good morning. Barbara?
Good morning. Sorry about that. Barbara
here you
W.
are.
Yeah, I'm Barbara W. from Washington State. And it's been a long time since I shared, but this is a perfect paragraph. I didn't realize how rich it was. I just read it over. I grew up in a mainline Christian church, and it was just someplace. My mom was divorced, and she wanted me to have a place to go for a spiritual. It was just something that she had found very useful in her growing up years. And what I love about this program, and I walked in the doors of OA the first time in 1977. And my son, one of my boys, was was 2 years old. And he's now 49. And I find that having been single, I found myself sort of at a loss I felt like I was floating or something wasn't anchoring me. And I couldn't get connected with anything. And the only thing was OA. And then finding Vision, I don't remember what year. I'm going to say about 10 years ago. Has been a gift. It has helped me formulate, I don't know what word to use, but my conception of my higher power, my divine spirit, has deepened to the point where when I really latch onto it, it's like everything falls into place. People come up to me and say hi, or they respond to me differently. It's like I'm remembering that I'm a child of God. I am God in form. And when I am kind, and when I'm patient, and when I really listen, which is a challenge for me, that part of me becomes so visible to others. And when I look in the mirror, I feel different. And between OA and my faith community, I have grown. The divine spirit has grown so deep, and I'm 78 years old. And this is such a gift to me at my old age. And I don't feel old, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that my concept of my higher power has really enriched my heart and my soul to the point where I'm just so blessed. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Barbara W. from Washington State, and perfect timing. Next up, we've got Wendy N. from Colorado. Good morning, Wendy.
Yes, good morning, Stephanie. Thank you for your service and everybody on the line. Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado, recovered. Thank you, God. So what I find interesting are these two words, seek and seek, right? So, like, I can't just hang out. I have to actually take action in order to make conscious contact with God. But how do I make contact with God? Well, I'll tell you, lately, I've been miserable. And miserable is a sign that I'm not making any contact with God. And the reason for that is because what gets in the way between me and God in terms of seeking God is me, self. I've been in so much self, and it's like there's no room. Because if I'm in self, then I'm playing God, and there is no God. That's all it is. That's how it works for me. And yesterday I was talking to somebody. I said, oh, I've had COVID and I'm miserable. And what about me? And I went on and on. And then I said to him, oh, my God, I'm in so much self right now. You can actually have COVID and not be in self. You can actually have whatever's happening in your life and not be in self. And the minute I told this person I've been in self, i.e. not God, it was a relief. It was a sudden change in perception. I was like, I'm no longer needing to carry myself and occlude everybody else, right? More God, less me. More of you, less of me. The less I can get out of self, I get God. And you know what else? I don't care about outcomes. I don't care to manipulate change and cajole. I don't have to do that. If I don't have self, then there's no need for it. But when I'm in self, there's no God, right? And the other thing I want to say is all these names for God, my experience is that I don't know that I believe in God, but I experience God constantly. And what that looks like is returning to sanity. So if I call one of you and I'm in self and I realize, oh my God, I've just been in self, the minute I get out of self, I not only have room for God to take over and I get to be humble, but I get to experience sanity, the return to sanity, which for me is a big ticket item, because that means I'm realigned with my higher power. I'm no longer miserable. I'm no longer without God. But all I have to do is get out of self, because it's a powerful, powerful place to be. And it never works. It's always, always a place where I am playing God, and God's nowhere to be found. So in terms of seeking, it's as simple as taking myself out
That's
of the
time,
equation.
Wendy.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Wendy Ann from Colorado. And before I get another lineup, let me let you know where we are. We are on page 46, we read the second full paragraph, beginning with, much to our relief, ending with, it is believed to all men. We read that one paragraph this morning, and we're sharing on that. And just a reminder, too, that if you have shared in the last couple days, so if you shared on, let's see, on Wednesday or Thursday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. And please keep your share to 3 minutes so we can get as many people as possible in to share this morning. So if you'd like to share, please let me know your first name, last initial, and where you are calling from. Who would like to share?
Rachel Mary O. from Lindsay. California.
I think I heard Rachel O.
Yes.
Did I get that, Rachel? Okay, great.
Mary Ellen P.
And yep.
I've got Mary Ellen P.
And Jeb F.
Where are you from? Mary Ellen, where are you from? Okay, we'll get that later. And there was someone right after Mary Ellen. Who was that?
Deb S. in Texas.
Okay. Got you, Deb.
Dion R.
Got you, Dion R. And we might be able to get one more person in here. Anyone else? Okay, well, we'll see how it goes. I've got Rachel O, Mary Ellen P, Deb F, and Dion R. And Rachel, you'll be first, followed by Mary Ellen. Good morning, Rachel.
Okay, Rachel O.
Here you are.
San Diego, California. Sorry, I was waiting to get unmuted. So when it comes to the conception of my higher power, I had a really hard time doing that because I was always thinking of, you know, my parents' conception of a higher power or God or whatever, or this specific church's higher power or God or whatever you want to call it. And I was always like fighting it because of, you know, my sexuality or how I felt about it or the punishment of it, or, you know, I felt I was going to get, you know, in trouble or all this stuff. And, you know, someone sat me down and was like, Rachel, write down what your higher power is. And I was like, oh, I can't do that. And they go, okay, well, sit down. Who's your dream man? And I was like, oh, it has to be, you know, over 6 foot, has to be this. And they go, oh, really, you can do that? You can write down what your dream, you know, lover is, but you can't write down what your dream higher power is? So I was like, oh, damn. Oh, man. You know? So I sat down, and it was very emotional for me to sit down, and I was like, you know, my higher power is loving, understanding, you know, not punishing, you know, like punishing him to a point of like, but understanding me and what I am. And I was like, you know, this is my higher power, and I can make it whatever I want it to be. It's not my dad's higher power. It's not Joe Blow's higher power. It's not Steve down the street's higher power. It's my higher power. And my higher power loves me for me. And if that's, you know, who I decide to love, that's who I decide to love. And that's me. And, you know, yesterday in my culture, we believe, you know, like in hawks. And I was looking out this view at my doctor's office, just looking at this beautiful view. And this hawk passed by me real, real slowly. It flew real low. And in my culture, that we believe that means you're doing a good job, but you need to stand still. And just, you know, and I was like, I get a higher power. I'm listening, you know, and I was so happy because I was supposed to be faced the other way looking at the curtain. And I specifically asked, like, hey, can I look out the window and look at this beautiful view? And I totally would have missed it if I wouldn't ask to look out the window. And I was just like, oh, my goodness. So thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Rachel O. from California. And next up, Mary Ellen P., followed by Deb S. Good morning, Mary Ellen.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. My name is Mary Ellen. T is in Tango, and I live in Oregon. I'm a compulsive overeater, and today I'm recovered. And asking from my higher power to help give me guidance so that I can share how my experience and my recovery and my seeking seeking a relationship with my higher power, how I can be able to share that with you guys. I am, I love this paragraph because it opened up a door, it opened up freedom and opportunity that presents itself every single day to me. And, you know, I'm always thankful that Abby stepped in the door of Bill's threshold and shared with him, you know, why don't you believe in a conception of your own making? And that's a large proposition. And, you know, I love that I get to hear from other people how they perceive their higher power. And I love that there's been a lot of words in this big book that have helped me to and the understanding of how higher power exists within me. And, I really love the spirit of the universe and the sunlight of the spirit and source, and my relationship with my higher power has grown significantly over these past six years. You know, I call my higher power mama now. You know, I really connect with Mother Earth, and when I'm out in green space, I really feel a deep sense of relaxation and just a gratitude, a connection that helps to calm me. And so I have always felt really connected to Earth, and so it just naturally evolved over time, Mother Earth into Mama, but also Source. And you know, it's fluid for me. Sometimes my higher power has no gender whatsoever. it doesn't really matter to me. I just need to know that it's something that's not me. And the last thing I think I wanted to talk about is a couple of days ago, I heard another fellow talk about, a big piece of being able to be free and freed from the addiction is about surrender, and that we don't work our way into recovery. We surrender our way to recovery. So I've just been holding on to those words and trying to think about surrendering my thoughts and actions to my higher power, so that way I can be free to hear, to really hear the guidance and direction that she gives me. Thanks so much for listening. I pass.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Mary Ellen T. from Oregon. Next, we've got Deb F., followed by Dion R. Good morning, Deb.
Good morning. Thank you, moderator, and thank you, everyone, for your shares. The favorite part of this paragraph for me is that we found that God does not make too hard terms with those who seek him. To us, the realm of the spirit is broad, roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive, forbidding to those who earnestly seek. It's open, we believe, to all men, all people. And I know for me that I was raised with a certain level of Christianity, and then I took some steps of faith of my own that defined who I believed in, and that was Jesus Christ. But I came from a family that ridiculed, wanted to put down, manipulate, and so it was hard for me to know, to have confidence in myself, and therefore sometimes in my choices. And so I knew that shortly after I had made my own choices in faith that I needed support, and that's where I found OA. And but I never actually explored the second step, which this is right here, for myself, until I said, why do I keep having trouble here? And it was because I was trying to play God, and so just realizing that I had to stop doing that and just trust with an area that had been my God. Food was my comfort, from a family that I didn't feel supported by and didn't really know until, maybe the past 5 or 6 years of my life, or longer than that, because I've always been doing this protective things. So, I'm just grateful here that I can have several sponsors that encourage me and show me to explore for myself what is working and what isn't. And I know that I can thoroughly trust God today, and to put all of my worries and concerns and all of the relationships that I want to see healed, all give it all to him, because I cannot fix it myself. And with that, has come a more of a neutrality around food and neutrality around people, certain people, places, and things. It's not everything yet, but I'm just grateful today.
Fine.
Thank you so much, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Deb F. from Texas. Next up, we've got Dion R. Dion, can you hit *1, please? We can't hear you.
Yes. Hi. Hi. Good morning. And thank you. I dropped my call. Hit the dial in again. So thank you all. And this is Dion R. from Georgia right now. And just want to thank you all and, excuse me, identify with this paragraph starting with my apologies for not being able to show up on time. been having a lot of problems sleeping. But anywho, back to the paragraph. Yes, we are agnostic temperament. So, of course, I was reading, had to look up temperament and, you know, in the big book dictionary. And what did they mean by that? Is that that type of attitude, that type of thinking, that type of style, agnostic. And I was so hypocritical when I came into the program. I'm like, because I was angry, like many, many people talked about how they doubted, but it was, the program gave us the opportunity to develop our own idea of a higher power. And that's the best solution anyone could have given me, because my attitude, my state of mind, my state of being, that agnostic thinking, was I'm not sure there is a God, because I had too many facts to prove that he was not real. But then again, I figured, like, he was, I better believe, just in case, you know, he is for real. But the gift is, Isis, we found that as soon as, I'll say Dion found, as soon as Dion were able to lay aside the prejudice and express even a willingness and a power greater than myself. And that's what you guys gave me, which is, of course, right, part of the set-aside prayer is just, I had to lay aside whatever I was thinking because you beautiful people showed me that it worked. I've seen people recover in front of my eyes who came in after me and before me, and I'm watching the miracle with them. So, okay, let me try it. And it gave me opportunity. Okay, I don't know how to be willing, but, and someone said, just ask for willingness to be willing. And that, and I began to see the miracles of my life in the past, the gold nuggets, that there was a higher power. And it wasn't my brain. It wasn't my thinking. It wasn't the facts. And a lot of the facts were misconstrued because of life or whatever happened. And it's like, ah. So it was just like that aha moment. It was enough. The willingness. That's all I needed. Just the willing. Willing to be willing. And that opened a door. And it continues to open a door to my healing, my honesty, my love for Christ and my love for God, that who I cursed at one time. And he was able to forgive me and allow me to find him freely on my own. And once I know that, can't deny it. If someone said, I can't plead ignorant when I know that today. That's for me. But he gave me a chance to come in raw, person and whatever, and balking. And today, I'm a true believer that there is a God, and I'm not him. I hear him in this room and see him in my
time.
People. And with that, I will graciously pass. Thank you, honey.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Gianna from Georgia. And we're right at the end here. So we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Lisa Ann, can you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
I sure can. Thank you again, moderator. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.